All right. Who's kicking us off? And Mike, it might only be you. I think it said there were a couple on, but.
Anybody else on?
Yeah, Tom here.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Moore will join us.
So, Mike, yeah, I've been recalibrating and waiting for the next, hopefully, wave to hit me pretty quick here. I've been going back through the 47 offers that I've had, and I've been just reaching back out to a lot of those folks and trying to, you know, some of them we definitely kind of lost track of and hadn't followed up, and I'm getting a couple of them revived out of the weeds.
Nice.
One of them, was a little bit of a miscommunication, I guess, early on. He's an out-of-state owner. House has been vacant for about 4.5 years. It's been that long since he's actually seen the property.
Yep.
He's known that it had some issues when he left. Myself that I went over, he had accepted an offer range of between 12 and 20. It's a little property. 800 square feet, 3-1, and the ARVs in that area are only around $40,000 for that house.
Okay.
And so I sent my sales guy over.
It rents at 800?
It does rent at around 800 a month.
Okay.
In that area. So the numbers that I was originally looking at when we gave him that range was based off of him saying that he knew the house needed a lot of work.
Yeah, what's a lot?
He said there was. He said there were some spots in the
25.
It's going to need all of 25. So my sales guy went over.
It's only 800 square feet.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of money to spend on 800 square feet.
Trust me, this bad boy's got some serious issues. So there was he was aware that there was a hole of the kitchen when he left 4.5 years ago. Well, that hole was never addressed.
Hole in the ceiling?
Yeah, through the roof into the house.
Okay.
So let me basically
ask you this. Let me ask you this. What's the neighborhood grade? A, B, C, D, F, war zone, bullets flying, or good spot?
It's C. It's in between, so it's really that's kind of an area where you can go four blocks one way, and you have F, and you go four blocks the other way, and you got B+ from this house. This house is kind of like floating closer to the bad part of town, closer to the blocks that are a little rougher. So I'd say it's probably at best C+. That's why the ARVs are only 40. This same house, two blocks to the right, is about 75.
So my question is, do you have a buyer that's willing to pay this kind of pricing in that area, or do you need to go find something in either a similar area that needs less work or better area, less work?
So I just kind of getting through the conversation with the seller, and after we got the pictures, I called him up and said, okay, so we did get into the property, and it is in much worse condition than you're probably even aware of, that I can send you some pictures to get you kind of up to speed. I said, so my original range was 12 to 20. I says, there's no way I can even be anywhere near that. I said, well, how motivated are you to get rid of this property? He says, I don't want to own this property anymore.
Nice.
I said, okay. So I said, the most I would probably be able to consider offering you for it is about $5,000.
Okay.
Well, he says, let me think about it, and I'll get back with you.
Okay. Tell you what, if you have his email, send the contract. Just let him think about it with paperwork in hand.
Okay.
That's what you do there.
Okay.
Yeah, nice.
And so that one, yeah, it's definitely going to be, the floor in the kitchen where all the appliances and stuff like the stove sit next to the sink, the floor's rotten away so much that everything is sinking into the floor where it's falling apart.
So the good thing is it's only 800 square feet. I mean, there's only so much, right? There's only so many materials that need to be put into 800 square feet of house. So even if you have to do some floor joists, redo the subfloor, redo the roof clearly. But if there's a hole in the roof, probably not the whole roof is shot, but that area for sure, right? So redo some decking, shingles on it. I'm just saying, I think, I mean, 25 goes a long ways on a 1,200 square foot house. This thing's only 8. Yeah. So, all right. So you've got an offer at 5. If he's thinking about it, put contract in hand.
Okay.
And shoot him a text and says, I know you're thinking about it, but in the event you choose to move forward, paperwork's in your inbox.
Okay.
Let's rock and
I'll
roll.
Do that.
Because now you've got it at a good price. Because price cures all.
Then the other one I pulled out of the weeds. The lady bought the house in 2010 for 30. It's in another area, in kind of in this similar area. It's a little bit closer to the. It's worth about ARV about 50,000 to 55,000. So it's another couple. It's in about 6 blocks away, but it's kind of moving towards the middle area. So she has done a ton of work to the property. She bought it for 30 and spent 20 on the exterior of it. Completely redid all the exterior, new roof, all new siding, new windows, new doors. The interior has been gutted to the studs, and she moved out of state and stopped working on it 3 years ago, and then she's been moved back to Virginia within the last 6 months. But she's not interested in finishing it.
Okay, let's get to the numbers.
Yeah.
I like the story, but let's cut to the chase here. What is
the numbers, I originally offered her 26, which is about what I figured the property was going to take, and it was too low. She paid 30 for it, and she's put another 20 in it, and she's like, so that was the conversation we had 3 weeks ago. I called her up again, and at least got her to a number she would consider, and that's 30. My numbers tell me 26 is the maximum offer. The ARVs are about 55. House needs a full interior.
Does it need all systems or just needs drywall?
Everything.
Or does it need plumbing, electric, HVAC?
All systems interior-wise need to be done.
How big is it?
It is a 926 square foot, 3-1.
Okay. So what do you think fix-up is?
I think fix-up is probably, since it's all the expensive stuff, it's probably going to be 15 to 20.
Yeah, if you have no plumbing, no electric, and no HVAC, you can run $5,000 each to be ballpark, something like that, labor and materials. There's probably, it sounds like there's maybe something worth salvageable in there, but maybe not.
It sounds like it's stripped to the bones.
Yeah.
And so I figured 25.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I would have guessed.
I plugged 25 into it.
What is it rent for?
It rents for around $850.
So this one's probably going to be tight. $30,000 buy price plus $25,000 in fix up. $55,000, and then you still want to get paid.
Yep.
So 55, let's see here. So 850 times 70% is 595 times 12 is 7140 divided by 12 cap buyers all in at $60,000, 59.5.
I still think it's only worth 26, and that's what I'm going to come back to her with and just say, look, I understand your situation is your situation, but the ARVs aren't strong in that area. So that's never going to be a
Let me ask you this: those ARVs, is 55 the investor price, or that's the fixed up price?
That's ARV. That's resale.
Okay. I think 26 is high.
Investors are only paying between 7 and 30 for this type of a house in this area.
Yeah, and this one needs the outside fixed up. That's a plus, but the inside is.
Yep.
I mean, it's like you're doing new construction with 4 exterior walls and a roof.
So that's where I figured at 26, that was it. I mean, even as a buy and hold, because you can get away with less cost interior-wise. You don't have as much to fix up. But I figured at 26 with about 15 in fix-up, they were going to be all in at about 50, and it was going to be around a 14 cap. That's the only way that would work. So
yeah, that's
I need to.
And she spent $30,000 on the exterior of her house, which is
20.
Okay.
And she's paid 30 for the property to begin with, and I've had this conversation with her. She's actually, you know, when people get emotionally bound to something, they start doing things they shouldn't have, and she realized that, and she's like, I should have never done what
I had
done
outside.
She just knew it. She knows it now. She knows that it's going to take her another 20 to get it for sale. So she'll be in it for 70, 75.
Right.
And the house is still only worth
55. Here's the thing.
So she's ready
to help her.
Do something.
You can help her, but only at your price. And here, listen to this.
Exactly.
You've gone 3 weeks, and her price is already down. So what happens in 2 or 3 more weeks?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the reality of the situation is setting in. The worst thing we can do, here's the bottom line, we can't help everybody. Wish we could, we can't. The worst thing you can do is overpay from trying to help somebody. So, Mike, I even think your 26 number is high. I mean, even if you buy it at 26 and the place needs 25, you're in at 51 and you're saying ARVs are 55. That doesn't work.
Yeah. No, I think on a buy and hold is the only way it would work. You pay...
What's the grade of the neighborhood? Is it a B neighborhood?
It's moving up. It's moving up to the B. That's in like a little bit more of a
B plus, B minus.
B minus.
Okay, so the only way this makes sense is you've got a buyer that is less concerned about what Zillow says the value is, and they just want a 10 cap return in a B minus neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you have that buyer in your back pocket that says all day long, then I feel like there's some potential here. But here's the thing. That buyer probably doesn't want to do construction. So now you're going to have to figure out private money, whatever, buy it, renovate it, and then sell it turnkey. Here's the thing. You can sell, with some education, you can sell properties over what Zillow and the comps say as a turnkey rental. And the reason I ask that question is, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, here's what the comps are going to show you, but this is the investor price in the neighborhood. So what you're seeing is what they're paying prior to capital improvements, prior to doing the work.
Yeah.
So don't stumble on these, because these are, you know, these are the transactions when the investor is buying the house in a distressed condition. So that's how you educate them over the value and sell them on the return. But if you, you know, you've got to make a choice. I think 26 is too much based on what you're telling me. If 55 was the investor price prior to capital improvements, and you can say, you know, this thing is worth, you know, 60 or 70 or whatever, but it doesn't sound like you have that data.
No, it's not. So, it's not the investor price. The investor price is 30 is on the high side.
Yeah.
So I'd have to have room to be able to move it for 30, assuming they're going to want to put that much work in the interior.
Yeah, you've got to get paid on it too.
Yeah,
to make it worth your while.
That's right. That's
5 to 7.
And I figured I would put it out there for about 32. If I got it for 26, put it out there for about 32. Make
32 needs 5 or needs 25. So somebody's in for 57. And some carrying costs, and they're already over, what is that, 850 rents, if I'm all in at 57,000. 850 times 70%. So 7140 net annual divided by 57,000 is 12.5. It's not
great.
Borderline, but you're pushing it at 26, I feel like. Trying to make a deal here, maybe.
Yeah, and I haven't made her a counter offer or anything. I just needed to get all my ducks in a row and actually figure out, let her sit on it a little bit and let it sink in a little more. Because I don't think she was really aware that the ARVs in the area are only in the 50, 55 range.
Yeah, I mean, two conversations here and the price is already coming down.
Yeah.
It seems to me like is the property free and clear, or does she owe money on it? Does she have a mortgage?
No, there's no mortgage.
Okay, so she's just trying to recover as much out of pocket as possible.
Yeah. And she's obviously is not hurting. She's not in a position where she just needs the money, because our first conversation was with her was she would sell it, but it was that but. I don't need to sell it. I can sit on it.
Yeah.
I don't have to get rid of it. And
totally.
To the second conversation,
she doesn't have a solution here.
No, she does
not.
And me informing her. Me informing her that you're going to put 70 in it just to get this thing turned around. I mean, that doesn't make sense. So she knows she's going to lose that 20 already. She just doesn't want to lose what she paid for the house on top of it. So that's a matter of working. I don't want to take advantage of the lady, but she put herself in a situation I didn't. So I can only offer what we can do.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, what you can do is say, here's what I can pay.
Yeah.
That's not taking advantage of the situation, because like you just said, you didn't make the prior decisions on it. But don't come in trying to make a deal. I think you're still tied at 26, because somebody – here's the thing. You're going to have a 12-cap buyer that says, yep, I'm willing to go in and do all this work.
Yep.
Unless you're going to do the work, have the work done, and then sell it turnkey, right? That opens up a new world of buyers. So
I'm not ready for that right now, just because of trying to get the wholesale side of it going. I'm not ready to take on some other task and project.
Let that one marinate for a bit.
Yeah.
Because that price, with a little more time and a few more conversations, I feel like it's going to keep coming down.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What else?
So that just, you know, been going through, had to do a little bit more training with my sales guy, and things are going much better. I did start to download. I was just putting him into FreedomSoft and letting him go through, because you have to be full access to get into the area to even listen to those conversations. So I've just been downloading them, saving them, and emailing, and we're just using them for just training. And he's taken to it.
Has that been helpful?
It has. It's been helpful for me too, just listening back to my own conversations.
Yeah, it's huge.
With people and figuring out where there's too much pause in between. There's not, you know, there's no fluidity through the conversation, and you end up kind of making things a bit awkward by not understanding when you're trying to look up their information, because they call back, or when you're calling out, it's easy because you're in the lead. But when they call back to you and you got to go find the lead, you know, taking that uncomfortable kind of like, why are you calling me out of it? Because you really don't know if you're even talking to the person that owns the house or not yet. So you're still trying to figure out, okay, without trying to pry too much information out of them, making them feel more uncomfortable, why is this person asking me this information? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People are pretty guarded.
Right.
So it definitely, it helps a bunch. So it's invaluable, honestly.
It is. Invaluable. Yeah. You got to have the recordings. Without even having conversation, you listen to your own or your salesperson, have them listen to themselves, they'll get better immediately. Just off hearing a couple of them. So, cool, man.
Yep. So, and then...
But the ups and downs are a part of this. So,
yep.
Our team's been in a lull here lately, too, until yesterday started to pick back up again. We weren't doing anything different. We went through a stretch where we were talking to a bunch of people, contracts coming in, then it kind of mellowed out. Now it's starting to pick up again. So, you know, some of it's just because that's how things work, but...
Sure.
You know, always good to be constantly reevaluating. Where can we get better?
The only constant is change.
Right.
So
let me see who else. Do you have something else quick? It's been a few minutes here.
I just went ahead and my VA, I have him in the system where it'll kick the information back to him. So I got him actually working really well now. Things are definitely flowing a lot better between all these little tabs by getting those statuses working like they're supposed to in the system. So that was huge. And that was something that through all of our training, that's something I never got through the training. I had to go and try to really figure it out. And when we get a new system, FreedomSoft, dropped in front of you that you have no experience with, there's stuff that's already pre-built to help you out. But if you don't know what it is and where to go find it, and someone like me who has is very mechanical and wants to create things. I created a lot of things that created more problems down the road than if I would have just had some form of a training early, not self-taught, in how the system works and how it was built and whatnot. So that was something that I finally was able to figure out and understand things that you guys had already in place that were doing what I was trying to do in somewhere else.
Yeah, that's part of it. Even, you know, you go through something, you're not going to get 100% of it, but that's why we plug in here. Let's talk about it. And you just, right, you just got to take things in bites. That's how it works for everybody. You look back and say, could have done this, did that. At the end of the day, when you go through it and you do it, and Mike, you know this from building a business before, it's just, it all comes back to be valuable. So as long as we're taking steps, I mean, you've gotten more organized here in the last 2 weeks, and that's a good exercise to go through. The team's starting to gel a little bit, which is good. So.
Yep. So everything else, we're good. Let's let you get to the rest of our callers.
Who's jumping in next?
Hey, Mike, it's Dave Quinn here.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, man, just plugging away here and having some good challenges, I guess, of just building the team out, going to what Mike was just talking about a little bit with getting people used to using FreedomSoft. Got a good bird dog rolling, and when I got to the skip tracer, I ran into a little bit of a problem. I found somebody from Bangladesh, thought they were well qualified. They were always doing it at the middle of the night, so we were never seemed to be able to connect. So I had to kind of take away his access because he was changing some stuff that was never part of the instruction. I did a video and everything, so just a good lesson in learning to monitor that better, probably, especially starting off.
Early on. What was it, out of curiosity, what was he chasing that?
What was he
didn't want him to. What was he chasing that he didn't need to be?
He was changing.
I like the chasing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was, you know, we were using colors that we're going to mainly just use for the property section rather than the lead section.
Yeah.
Because we were using them for if they had owner addresses as a quick, or property addresses as a mailing address as a quick thing to kind of qualify leads a little bit with the bird dog.
Okay.
So then he started putting green with everything that he was doing, plus changing the status. And
gotcha. He was going outside the lines a little bit.
we had done some of them. Search, find people, search, or whatever that one is. That actually is working pretty well.
Okay.
But, good lesson.
So you got that ironed out now?
Well, I got to find a new skip tracer.
Okay, so you just said, why didn't you just tell him to stop changing colors and just upload phone numbers? That wasn't...
Because there were a couple other things he was doing that I don't think he... I asked him for the copy of the screenshot from TLO, and he would always came up with an excuse.
Gotcha, because he didn't have it. Yep, okay.
Yeah, he was...
All right.
I think the information from... the find owner, that's the button in FreedomSoft, was providing more current up-to-date than what he was putting in from some other resource. I don't even know what he was using.
Okay, so time to move on. Gotcha.
Yep. That's what I figured.
How many do you have? How many leads do you have phone numbers for?
Probably 130.
Okay, and are you making calls on them until you have a salesperson, or do you have a acquisitions person?
Yeah, I just had three people take a DISC test today. I'm waiting for results back on that. I'd like to get them in as soon as possible. Three good candidates.
Yeah, so in the meantime, while you're hiring, you got to wear a sales hat for part of your day.
Yep.
Have you made some calls yet?
Doing a little bit of that. I haven't had any luck yet. Left a few messages. What's your thought on that? Leaving messages.
Yeah, leave one. It's got to be intriguing, though, and compelling to call back. So you got to talk like, hey, Dave, it's Mike. Just calling you real quick on vacant house you own at 123 Main Street. Got a question for you about it quick or something. Come up with a script that you're comfortable saying. Don't say I'm an investor and I'm trying to buy your blah, blah, blah. Just say you've got to come across, you know, always use the word hey, or we do. Hey, Dave, it's Mike. I don't ever leave a last name. Then it sounds like you know me. Hey, man, just touching base quick on this vacant house you own. Give me a shout when you have a quick minute. I've got an important question for you or, you know, something I want to ask you about it. Whatever you can come up with. Try a couple different ones. But, yeah, make sure it's scripted. You want to leave a good message for sure. And then if you want, out of Freedom Soft, you can follow up with a text too. Hey, just left you an important voicemail. Give me a call when you can. Now they're intrigued because everybody sees text messages. If I see a voicemail and I don't know the number, check it when I can. But everybody reads the text. So, you know, some of those aren't going to go through. They're going to be landlines, but that's fine. We try it anyway.
Sure.
After a message is left. So, yep.
Yep. I've got the recording all set up on this, my new number there for the campaign and area. So that's looking forward to using that more. And then I was going to ask about but I just lost my train of thought. Oh, for them to call back.
Yep.
After leaving that message, I've been trying to keep an eye on that to see if I've got any callbacks. I haven't seen anything yet.
So go into your phone number and auto forward it to your cell phone. You don't want to miss a callback. It's too valuable.
Okay. So set it up that way.
Edit the number, go to that call forwarding box, put in your whatever number you're going to answer. And then when your salesperson comes on board, you're going to want to have a number for them as well. So get it set up. They can go in and record a message if you want. You can record a message or just put that call forwarding on there. But what will happen is if a phone call comes into FreedomSoft and it call forwards to your cell phone and you don't answer, the FreedomSoft phone service is going to pull it back and it's going to play on the FreedomSoft voicemail. So you want to get that set up as well, whether it's them or you. Make sure that it's not just that recorded message so they hear a person on there. So, use that call forwarding. You can't afford to miss a motivated seller calling you back.
And that won't, if they call back, that's not going to capture any recording for the salesperson.
You know what? I think that's a great question. If they call back and you answer on your cell phone, does it record? I feel like
it will. It does.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but it's still being routed through the FreedomSoft number.
It's like a three-way call or something if they record.
Yeah, I don't know how it does it.
Yeah, it does work because I've been listening to it.
Nice.
Okay, cool.
Good to confirm, yeah. Yeah, that's the key. So, Dave, you've got leads with numbers. So now, you're looking for another person, but we got to be making offers. We got to be contacting people, and we've got to get offers out the door, and you know that. So that's next. You know, get somebody qualified on ASAP, but if that doesn't happen, your acquisitions for now.
Yeah. So if
somebody else steps in.
And see that person stepping in, I know from Mike talking, he's got his guy local to his market versus local here. I know you got your guys local to you. I made an offer to one guy. He actually took another job. He was out of L.A. I got a girl today who's really she's an insurance agent, but she wants to replace or at least supplement her income with with this, and I said, we'll probably replace it. And what's your feeling on that as far as preferably to be in town, but out of town is just as good? She's out of Atlanta, actually.
Yeah, talent is talent. I've got one person here local and two remote. One guy remote full-time and a gal remote part-time. And the guy my guy Chris here that's local, he's kind of running point on this whole thing and starting to work dispositions with me a little bit as well. But our rainmaker is the guy out of Utah. So, and I haven't met him. So, talked to him on the phone numerous times. But he's the one that's really tying just about everything else up for us because he's on the phone full time.
Right.
But yeah, talent's talent.
Shout out to Mike.
What's your?
Hey, Mike. So you said you have a full time and two part timers that make the call?
Two are full time. But Chris is running, he's kind of overseeing everything. So my guy Blaine and Erica, they're bringing deals to Chris, and he's verifying stuff and helping them out with it. If somebody sends us a list, like we've been talking about this, when you get on the phone, people are going to send you lists of properties, right? So we just got one for 42 the other day. So then Chris goes in and starts evaluating them. So he's on the phone, but he's also running all of acquisitions. And then Blaine is full-time on the phone, and then Erica's very part-time. We've got this young gal that's talented who's going to school. So she jumps on the phone for us when she can.
Okay.
But Blaine's the rainmaker, the guy out of Utah.
Cool. And then what do you do as far as when you hire those guys? Are you putting a contract talking about, sales commissions based on performance plus a W-9?
Yep. That's exactly it. We just did an independent contractor agreement, and I typed it into Google, independent contractor agreements, and then basically added in how they were getting paid.
Okay.
That's it. And then a W-9. Yep.
And how do you like your performance side? I think you said between 8% and 15% based on per week.
Yeah, we have it a little bit different. So Chris is overseeing acquisitions. So Blaine gets paid 8% to 12% based on weekly performance, and then that gives Chris an override because I told him that we can pay 20% for acquisitions. So if Blaine's at 12 and we're having a good week, Chris is at 8 on a deal that Blaine ties up. If Chris ties up his own deal, then he can make, because he's running point for us, he can make up to 20 on that one. That's how I have it set up right now. So Erica's the same. She's 8 to 12. And then that builds in, because when I hired Chris, I told him, hey, man, we're going to be in multiple cities, and I need somebody that can run, kind of oversee acquisitions, and that was his background, is building a lot of phone time himself, but also building sales teams. And that's what he wanted to do. And so we had to set it up a little different. So max that Paul and I pay is 20%. And then it gets broken up. I just said it. So that way Chris gets an override for overseeing the team, helping grow the team.
Right.
He's doing interviews when we're looking for somebody else. He's running point for me on acquisition. So.
And then the difference between 8 and 12 is like over 17 grand and acquisition fees.
Yeah, we're doing $15,000 for the week. Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess going back to that skip tracer and replacing that person, just go through the same things, Upwork and get PLO printouts. And is Bangladesh notorious, or I just get a bad one?
Yeah, I don't think so. I've had just go back to Upwork.
All right.
Hey, don't in the ad, don't tell them that you're going to want a TLO screenshot or whatever to verify.
Yeah,
just say I need you to have access to Lexus or TLO, And then when you get them on board, say, hey, great, I'll turn on some leads. Go log into TLO quick that you said you have and shoot me a screenshot back. As soon as I see that and know we're online and ready to rock and roll, I'll turn on access to the leads so you can start today. So spring it on them last minute and see how they respond.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, just about everybody on here has gone through a couple VAs, me included, so that's part of it. But now I've got a gal named Salma, and she's doing good. She had her TLO, and then she was really upfront with me and said, Mike, we just lost it. And I said, okay, let me know when you get it back. You know, do you plan to get it back? She said, yeah. 3 or 4 weeks went by. I got an email. Hey, Mike, I've got my access back. And I was like, game on. So I put her back in the system, and I've just been going with her. So.
All right. And around that, yep. 70 cents to a dollar, a good range?
Yeah. I'm trying to – I'd be honest, I don't know what we pay her. I think she's hourly and not per lead.
Okay.
I can't remember though. It's Paul's Upwork account. He drives most of that. He's the one paying them. But yeah, it's right in that 50 to 70 cents a lead or $8 an hour, somewhere in there. It's one or the other. I don't recall.
Cool.
Yes, sir. Anything else, Dave?
All right, I think that's it for now. Thanks.
Okay. Who else? Dave, it's all about offers for you. If you have skip trace leads, that's the next step. You got to be calling people, getting offers out the door, and then finding an acquisitions person to start doing that for you. That'll ramp it up. That's the goal right there. You got to be making offers daily.
Yeah, for sure.
You make offers daily, and you'll be surprised when you just preach that, right, from day one with acquisitions. As soon as they say, I'm ready to rock and roll, you tell them one thing. This is about making offers. That's the name of the game. Now, to do that, we have to get a hold of people, clearly. But when we have them on the phone, it's all about making that offer. And that, if they get that through their head, and make the goal an offer a day, and then make the goal a couple offers a day or whatever it is, you'll start getting contracts on a weekly basis. Those are the steps that it takes. So, who else? Somebody's got a question. No? Anything on the technical side, FreedomSoft side?
Mike, well, you know me,
yeah,
with my spreadsheet thing. So I did,
yep,
do the, like when I went into Realtor.com,
yep,
and made my selections, you know, for the bath and all that good stuff. But then you said house, you know, to pick house, like single family home. And I did pick that. So I don't know if I sent you the wrong spreadsheet, but I will get that done today. Again, I'll review it again.
Okay.
I'm a little,
okay,
frustrated it's not figured out, and I thought I had it, but I'll get that to you. And then I guess that's it. That's my only thing. And then the MSR, was it? No, MSA.
Yep.
I just Googled that for population. Was that,
yep,
the right way to search that? Okay.
It is. Yeah, let me cover this really quick if you're earlier on. You can evaluate a city, or you can evaluate an MSA, which is the metropolitan statistical area. So basically like Denver and suburbs would be the MSA. So Lakewood, Littleton, Highlands Ranch, whatever.
Okay.
So just every big city has it. So why would you do one or the other? Well, here's why. Let's say you go, you're interested in a city, and I don't know one off the top of my head, but you look at it, and the population of the city is 200,000. You're like, that's not big enough. At a minimum, we want to be at 500,000, and the closer we can get to 1,000,000+, the better, because well, this program is about playing the percentages.
Okay.
So why go to a bigger city? Because there are more properties, more buyers, more sellers. Why target vacant houses? Because we have the highest likelihood that the seller wants to sell of all leads that you can generate, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And so it's about percentages. And so you look at a city and you're like, ah, 200,000, that's not going to work. I wonder what the MSA population is. Then you go to Google. Okay. You know, MSA population for, I think Tom on here recently did Knoxville and it's like 186,000, something like that. I'm trying to think back. But anyway, then you go to the MSA and you say, okay, hey, the MSA around this city has 750,000. Now we're talking. So then
that
when you go
great.
To,
yeah.
when you go to run the P ratio, what I would do there is I would say, okay, now instead of just running, so I'm going to put in my city. So let's say I'm going to put in Knoxville MSA. So I know what I'm tracking. Now for the population, I'm going to put in the MSA population. When I go to realtor.com, I'm going to put in that city, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm going to select house in property type. And then there's an additional, I can't remember what the button to the right of that says, but additional search criteria, whatever. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to add a 20-mile radius. And this is right out of the video. Why? Because now we're not just looking at the city. We're looking at the MSA. So realtor.com does not have an MSA button, but you can add that 20-mile perimeter. So now I'm not just looking at the current listed houses in Knoxville. I'm looking at the current listed houses in Knoxville plus a 20-mile radius around Knoxville, which is close enough for the MSA.
Right. I do love that, because when I was searching all these cities, I was kind of thinking like, you know, Nashville, like, you know, that's a pretty tough area. But when you think about Denver and how expensive it is here, everybody is kind of moving out into the suburbs and out
right.
further and further away. And so I think that's very important to search that way.
It is. And the other thing you want to know, too, is there activity in the whole MSA? And if you're from Denver, you know there absolutely is. It's not just Denver that's booming right now. It's all of the surrounding cities to Denver. And so then you say, okay, I want to go to St. Louis or I want to go to Indianapolis. Is it just the city that's popping with investor activity or is it the entire MSA? Because if you can work in MSA, now your playground's bigger, right?
Yeah.
If there's activity all throughout the metropolitan area, because it's big, it's bigger geographically and population than just the city. And so that's how we use it, right? So, and then what's cool about List Source is you click absentee owners in there, which is step one, and then you click a drop down for geography, and you can pick city and you can pick MSA and run the investor numbers. So if you go into a market like that and you say, okay, the city's only 200,000, the MSA is 800,000. Great. I'm going to evaluate the MSA. Let's see if there's investor activity all through this thing. What's the P ratio for the entire MSA? If you go to a place like Houston, just the population of Houston is massive. So you could absolutely pull the Houston MSA. And what you could do would be kind of interesting is run a P ratio for the city of Houston and then run a P ratio for the entire MSA with Houston in it. And you could look and say, hey, the P ratio in the city, maybe it's super competitive. It's a 2, but the MSA P ratio is a 14. Great. I'm going to focus on this whole metropolitan area. There's activity going in Houston and all around it. But that's how we use it. So it's not always black and white, but you've got to know how to run both. And all, you know, it doesn't matter which one you run. Just make sure that if you're running city, that you're using city population, you're only pulling data for the city in realtor.com, and you're selecting city in List Source for geography. And then if you're going to run the MSA, make sure that your data is consistent. Because a spreadsheet, if you put in bad data, it'll give you bad results. So we just have to pay attention when we're filling that thing out.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, yep. But, yeah, it's a handy tool because there are some great markets and the population of that particular city is well below 500,000. And so at first glance, you'd think that's not even viable. But then now that you bring the MSA into play, and it makes a lot of those markets viable because there's always activity around big cities, always.
Okay.
So does that make sense? Add some clarity?
Yeah, that really did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. You feel like we can have your market selected by tomorrow?
I would really like that. So I'll be working on that again tonight, doing another research.
Here's the thing. It can be a little discouraging. I got to do this again. I got to do it again. But you're learning the process, right? So
exactly. I'm going to be
really
good at this.
That's the thing. That's exactly it. This is the first market you launch is going to be the slowest. But when you learn it now, you'll launch subsequent markets inside of 7 days, and it won't be hard for you to do because you'll say, okay, I'm going to go evaluate these, and I remember how to do it, and so you'll make a selection, and then you'll say, great, I'm going to go post an ad in their Craigslist for bird dogs, and bam, 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 and your acquisitions person will be in place, your skip tracer will be in place, ready to go for leads, and you'll be up and running in no time in a new market. So it's okay that we're going slow now to learn it so that you can go fast for the next 10, 20 years.
Okay.
Yep. And there's no better way to learn than messing it up a few times. And we just all know that's true.
Boy, that's the truth here.
That's just true. Anything else, Sherry?
No, I just really want to kind of get through that. And, yeah. But no, I'm starting to kind of catch on to what people are saying, so that's good.
Cool. Yep, good.
Starting to understand some of the terms.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing, too, here. You plug into all the calls, which is key because you, as you're working on some of these early stages, you already have a glimpse of where you're going. So don't sweat it. Yeah, you'll be fine. Who else? ¿Qué tiene preguntas para mí? I have no idea if that was a proper Spanish sentence, but I'm doing my best. Who has questions for me? No? Nobody. Hey, if we have everything covered, I'm good with it. I know we've had the last calls. I know Monday was really good, all last week too. So if there's nothing out there, let's get back at it. So, yeah, if something comes up, let us know. Sherry, let's get your market picked by tomorrow. So send that email back with the proper data, double check it, and then based on what you found, tell me where you're going. And if I see a red flag, I'll reply to you.
Okay, sounds
good. So I always want you to do the thought first and say, here's where I'm going and why. And you've got the data there. What is the P ratio? What's the population? What's the average single family home price? Right? Because we're playing the percentages again. Denver just went over average single family home, just went to 502.
Oh my God.
Really high priced. Two and a quarter to 250 is kind of where Rob has placed the line in the sand that says, you know, high price versus low price market. Right in that low to mid two range, 200,000 price range. So Denver clearly high priced. You go into a place like Fort Worth, I can't remember when I pulled it, but I think it was 175 maybe. Something like that, so lower price. You've got the data, so take a look at it. You know, the other thing I like to look at, too, is how many investor transactions are going down. I mean, that's typically a function of population, but not always. So let's say you're down to two markets, and one of them has a population of 700,000, and then the last 90 days there were 400 investor transactions. And the other market has a similar population, 700,000-800,000, and there were 1,200 investor transactions from ListSource. Which of the two would I go to? All of the things equal. The 1,200.
Yes.
Yeah. More what? More investor activity here. Oh. I want to go jump in a pool where there's some things happening. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
three times the transactions in this city as opposed to this city, and a, you know, relatively similar population, I'm going to where the activity is, because it's already happening. I just got to go find a way to get in the middle of it, which we know how to do. So
now, when I'm looking at all of my data, where am I finding the investors' transactions that are going on?
That's what you pull from ListSource. Absentee owner transactions.
That's
the number you're buying. Yeah, absentee owner means somebody bought a house, but they're not living there as primary residence. So if you're in a coastal town in Florida, there are some second home buyers in there. But for the majority of that activity is investor activity, people buying and selling, properties that they don't live in. That's the investor activity. So that's why in ListSource, the very first selection you make is absentee owners.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
So you are buying the investor activity. And then when you go to buy that list, now here are the addresses that investors bought. Here's what they paid for them. Here's the date they closed. Here's the owner that you can skip trace and start to build your buyer's list. I mean, you know, when you're filling out the spreadsheet, you just get the number. At a later date, you'll actually buy a list from ListSource of those absentee owners. And that's what you go and map. So, Sherry, I don't know if you're there yet, but you buy that list from ListSource, and then you take it over to Easy Map Maker. There are a bunch of them out there. You can just use Google. You can use Google Maps. But you'll upload that CSV file, and it'll, for every address, it'll put a pin on a map. And so now, I mean, it's incredibly valuable, is that you can look at your city or your territory, and you can see where the investors are concentrated. And it'll look one of two ways. Some cities, like if you were to pull Denver, there'd be activity everywhere, so it'd look like a shotgun shell hit it. You go to other cities, most other cities, and there will be distinct pockets of investor activity. And that then drives where do you go send your bird dog to generate leads. So it's all data-driven,
okay,
which won't surprise you for those of you that know Rob, because he's an engineer by trade. So what you know, one of his strengths is he doesn't invest based on opinions. He invests based on data, and it's more effective. So is that all starting to come together?
Well, it's making more sense for me.
Cool. Yeah. You got to hear it a few times when it's new. Absolutely. So, yeah, Sherry, nice job checking in on the calls, because now you're, you know, the conversations outside of the curriculum is where it starts to click for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. All right. Everybody, anything else? Okay. Good stuff as always.
All right,
keep your feet
you.
On the gas. Yep, got a couple deadlines on here. Sherry, we're picking a market by tomorrow. Dave, you've got some offers to get out. Mike, you've got some good kind of introspective data from the last couple weeks. You guys are in a little lull, but that'll break here soon. You've got some good stuff going on. You know, really dialing in the team. I was really encouraged when you said the team is starting to come together, right? You guys are like a band. It's like a band, right? But, the band comes together. Yeah, we think we can work, and then things don't really mesh. But then, right, you just keep doing the stuff, and the team just starts kind of gelling. And that's when it gets really fun, right? Nothing lasts forever, but you can go on some really good runs in this business with your team. And, those are fun to be on, so. That was really key. A lot of good things happening.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, just stay the course. Like I said, we were this last week wasn't great until the last 24 hours. We had some things start popping again, so we just keep plugging away. That's sales.
Yep,
that's just how it works.
Some other good news for me today. My son actually told you he was enlisting in the Air Force and went through all his stuff. Signed yesterday, so he'll be getting his other information here probably in the next week or so when he ships off. And
yeah, congrats.
What he's going to do. So I'm proud of him.
Yep. got a special place in my heart for military. That's my stance on it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, thank you from me and the group for his service. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Very excited for him.
Yep.
So appreciate
that. You got to be a proud papa.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
He's a good
cool.
kid. Good kid.
Yeah,
good you guys job. have a good
you know,
night.
Yeah, I love it when the life stuff comes in. I'll be honest with you guys. This has been a tough week. My cousin is, if we're going to go down this route, he's 35. Our family's close, and he found out last week Thursday that he has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's probably stage 4. He and his wife have 4 little kids. It's in all of his lymph nodes. It's in his bone marrow. First chemo treatment yesterday. It's been a heavy week, you know, trying to work on top of that. And, you know, we've got a win with your son and, you know, my cousin Marty's, I mean, he's 35. He's in there getting he's in there getting chemo yesterday, and he feels like he's, you know, half the age of everybody else in the hospital. They have their oldest is 5 and their youngest is 3 months.
Oh, wow.
That's some heavy news. So,
well, all I can offer you is my prayers. And
I appreciate
that. We'll put him in our prayers.
I appreciate that. You know, life happens. I talk about it with all of you on an orientation call. Life is going to happen while you're in this group. It's just the way it is. So, you know, the goods and the bad, the ups and downs, you know, it's part of building the business and building the team. And anyway.
I like when
you guys bring life to this call. So I think it's part of it. You know, we're all just – we're moving in a similar direction, but life is life, and, you know, we're just doing it together as a part of this group. So, Mike, I appreciate you bringing that up. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Right,
Godspeed to your cousin there, Mike, and congrats, for your son.
Thank you.
Yep. Good stuff there, buddy.
Not at all.
All right. Well, have a good afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. And, stay on it. Any questions, obviously, tomorrow or over the weekend, get them into the coaching center. And chat with everybody Monday.
Okay.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Yep. Take care. See ya.